The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our service today. It was interesting. I didn't know. Sometimes I'm really thought out, and then other times I'm not. Sometimes I fly by, sometimes I'm just winging it, you know what I mean? I know you guys find that hard to believe, but there, every once in a while, I'm just like, hey, we're going to just make the best of whatever happens, and we just go with things. And other times, I'm really thought out, and I try to be really prepared, and so when, I told you guys last week, this idea, this concept of renewing our mission, renewing our passion, renewing our commitment came to my mind a couple months ago. I thought it out, and I was like, all right, look, 3 weeks, we've got 3 weeks right here, we can fit this in, and I really had no clue how that was going to look. I knew those were like the 3 weeks, they were going to be back to back, they were going to go together, but I didn't really sit down and look at a calendar and say, well, hey, this one falls here, and passion just so happens to fall on Memorial Day. And you're like, that's kind of weird, because that's the last thing that I would think when I think about passion is Memorial Day. But I ran across this quote, and I wanted to share it with you, because to me, no one is more passionate than a soldier who gives his life in defense of us. The quote says this: a true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but because he loves what's behind him. To me, that's passion. When you fight for those that you love, when you fight to protect the country you love, the friends, the family that you have. And so it's funny, because as we're looking at renewing our passion, I think that we've been given a great example of people who have lived very passionately dedicated lives, so much so to the point of death. And I wonder if from time to time they wouldn't have to renew their passion. They wouldn't have to remember why they were fighting. I've never been in the Army or the military. If you have, thank you so much for your service, for what you did. I know Veterans Day is coming up, and I know we're going to recognize you guys on Veterans Day, but you can't help but think about those who served alongside people on days like today. I never was blessed to be able to do that. But one of the things that, I remember talking to a friend of mine, Steve, and he was in the Marines, and Steve went, my senior year was 9/11. And so guys who I went to high school with, when they were in some of the first waves over to Afghanistan when we went in the next year. And Steve was in Afghanistan, and he was there on his birthday. And I always remember talking to Steve and different things when he came back. And I remember asking Steve, Steve, do you ever get sick of it? And I mean, I know that sounds weird, the sand and the boots and the drill and all the different things that they have to do. I said, but do you ever get sick of it? And he's like, yeah, all the time. I said, what'd you do? He said, I remember why I was there. I said, oh, man, that kind of changes things a little bit. And I think that if I could paraphrase my friend Steve had to renew his passion from time to time. He had to remember why he was there, what he was fighting for. And this morning, my challenge and my request for you and I is that this morning we would renew our passion. Now, last week we talked about renewing our mission, and we talked about how the idea of this is you have to stay focused on why you're here. What are you and I as Christians created? What are we designed? What's our purpose in life? And we have to keep those things in front of us constantly, because sometimes if you're like me, you have ADD and you forget why you're doing what you're doing. But the second thing is, as we renew our passion, it's not just we have to keep in front of us what we're doing, we have to keep why we're doing what we're doing in front of us also. Does that make sense? Not just the mission, but why we're doing what we're doing. The first thing that renewing your passion means this: it's remembering your love. In John chapter 1, First John chapter 4, verses 19, John writes this: we love because he first loved us. Kelsey and I celebrated 10 years on Friday, and we went out to eat for dinner. And one of the things that we do, the reason we do date night, anybody know why? Because we have 4 kids at home and it gets us away? Yes, that's true. Gotta be honest. I love you. Nothing's going to change that. But, you know. Well, why do you go on a date? Why do you do something nice for your husband, for your wife? Because you love them. Remember why you met in the first place? I'm getting, man, it's wedding season. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but wedding season's coming up. I feel like, Jason's like, yeah, I know. I got like 3 or 4 weddings in the next couple weeks and stuff. And one of the things I always try to tell couples in premarital counseling is, hey, listen, before you get married, remember why you're getting married. Write it down someplace. Make a list of it. I try to tell them during the wedding, hey, listen, if I have a microphone, I try and turn it off, and I try and just look at the two of them, and I say, hey, take a minute and just soak this in. Because there's going to come a point in time later on in your marriage, and you're going to be angry, and you're going to be frustrated, and they're going to do something that really just ticked you off, and you're going to have to remember why you love this person. What is it about this person that you love, that you fell in love with? It's funny, I tell people that in premarital counseling. And you know what one of the very first things I talk to people when they're going through marriage counseling, like they've been married and now they're having problems? The very first thing I ask them to do, hey, why'd you get married in the first place? What caused you to fall in love with each other? And remembering what causes us to fall in love with somebody else is a good way to renew our love for that person. Why do we love Jesus? Because He loved us first. Man, because He showed me that He loved me. Because He showed me that there was nothing I could ever do that could make Him love me less. That's why I love Him, is because He first loved me. Going on in Romans, in chapter 5, verse 8, it says this: God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think, Michael, I think you prayed that these soldiers that died, they died for people that they didn't even know. Here's the crazy thing. Jesus knew you, He knew me, He knew every sin I was ever going to commit, and He still died. You ever like somebody at first, but the more you get to know them, you're like, what am I doing liking you? I'm just making sure nobody's looking at somebody sitting close to him. That'd be bad. But, man, isn't that wild to think that Jesus knew everything about us? He knew all our mistakes. He knew all our blunders. He knew all the things that we were going to do that were going to be spitting in His face time and time again. He said, no, I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to die for them. And so to remind ourselves of the idea that because He loved us, because He showed His love for us, even that while we were still sinners, that's what it means to renew our love for Him. Remember why we love Him and why He loves us. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says this: I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love, the love that you had at first. Now, as I read that passage this week, I knew that passage was in the Bible, and I read through it a ton of times, and it was like, okay, yeah, I know that passage. It was interesting, though, because when I read that passage, I went back and I read the whole passage. So I started at the beginning of chapter 2, and I read who this was to. I don't even have my wallet on me, but I've got a snack for somebody if they can tell me what church this was written to. Who? Ephesus. Now, why is that important? If you're with us on Wednesday nights, that's where we're actually at. It was around the church that Paul started in Ephesus. And it was remarkable because as I was reading this over in Revelation and I was reading what Paul writes to this church, I was reminded of what they did when Paul established them. Man, when Paul established this church through Christ, these people were burning their old books that were leading him into sorcery and into the occult. These people were giving their lives. They were living together. There was this passion and this love for him that just ignited that city. And it's interesting that now, all these years later, Paul says, hey, listen, you've forgotten your first love. You need to be reminded of what it was like when you first met Christ. When that relationship started, when it was fresh. Church, I wonder if a lot of us don't need to be reminded of what that was like. If we maybe just over the years, we've let church hurt, or we've let Christian hurt, or we've let somebody who did something wrong or something happen that's just weighed us down, and we've taken our focus off of the love of God and put it on the love of other people. And listen, this relationship's important, but it pales in comparison to this relationship. And if you want to renew your passion, the very first thing you and I have to do is we have to remember what that love was like. The second thing that renewing our passion is, it's renewing our enthusiasm. If you look in your bulletin, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, be diligent, do not be lazy, be enthusiastic in spirit, and work for the Lord. Again, y'all ever have a hard time doing your job? When you and some of y'all may be retired now, but like when you had a job, did anybody have a hard time getting up and going to work some days?
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. Why? Because sometimes that job's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to do, and not when it just gets hard to do, but what do we do? Maybe not you. I'll say me. Trying to think of the job. Oh, yep, found it. Started to think of the job I hated the most. No. Water company wasn't actually that bad. I got to dig holes. I'm good at digging holes. I worked for an insurance company. They processed insurance claims, as best I could tell. I worked for them for like 9 months. And what I did is I walked in, I sat at the computer, I had a screen in front of me, and I just had to go through and process claim after 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 claim. And if y'all know me, that is the worst position you could ever put me in. My ADD was wild, my ADHD was wild, my legs were wild, my head was wild. I couldn't sit still to save my life, and that was the most miserable job ever. You know why I stayed with it, though? I had a girl I was trying to buy a ring for. I had a hot girlfriend, man, and she wasn't going to stick around long unless I did something about it. And so I had to raise some money. I had to get some good paychecks in because I was working part-time at a church, and this was the next best job I could find. And so what did I do? I worked, and I stared at that computer screen day after day after day after day. Why? Because I found something I wanted to do. I found something that was worthwhile. But here's... maybe not you. Again, this is me. Some days I'd go in, and I wasn't really feeling it. And so what would I do? I'd look at my benchmark. How many cases do I have to close today? And I'd go right there. I'd close that exact number of cases that day. Why? Because there was no enthusiasm in my job. I didn't love the job. I didn't love anything about it. But what I needed to do is I needed to be reminded from time to time why I was doing the job I was doing. Listen, some of you have been followers of Christ for so long that when it comes to things like serving, vacation Bible school, the nursery, teaching Sunday school, you're like, nope, serve my time, I'm done. I just want to sit back and relax. Listen, when you and I renew our passion, when we renew that relationship, when we remember why we're doing what we're doing, we can't help but want to serve. Both these passages are funny to me because he talks about instead of chasing your own desires, your own passions, things that you find important, it says that you don't want to do that anymore. Now you just want to do whatever God's will is for your life. The second one says that you do it enthusiastically for Him. It makes me wonder how many of us have we let our passion wane a little bit? Because our passions wane a little bit, our service is waned a little bit. And so we don't get excited about church. We don't get excited about being here. We don't listen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here Memorial Day weekend and you could be out in the lake or at a pool or wherever you are. But I wonder how many of us are here now, but we're not really enthusiastic. We're hitting that benchmark. What's the bare minimum of what I got to do? And that's all I want to do. Another thing it means to renew your passion. Renewing your passion means that you renew your passion means your zealous pursuit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 12 say this: for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin as a result of salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Just see what godly sorrow produces in you. Such earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, such readiness, readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. My purpose when I wrote this was not to write who did the wrong, or who was wrong. I wrote this that you, in the sight of God, could see yourselves how loyal you are to us. Now, weird passage of scripture, just give me a second to unpack it. What happens is Paul's writing to the church in Corinthians. He's writing to the church in Corinthians from Ephesus, probably, most people believe. Again, going back to Wednesday night Bible study, not saying you should be here, but you should. But he's writing to them, and he says, hey, listen, I want to address some things with you. I want to tell you guys some things that you're doing wrong. And he's terrified to go and see them after he tells them that. Because he says, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to go in, and you guys are going to be angry at me for telling you the things I did that you did were wrong. Or you're going to be excited and you're going to be renewed because you realize the things that you're going to do that were wrong. And now that you realize that you're facing it. What happens to the church in Corinthians in Corinth is that Paul tells them, hey, listen, there's some issues. Here's some things that you're doing wrong. They fix it. They don't just fix it, but they zealously fix it. Now, what does zealously mean? That's not a word where you like, you don't get that like put on a back, hashtag zealous in the back of your car. What's zealous mean? Enthusiastic, all your strength. Intentional, right? Like there's no, you don't just happen to accidentally be zealous. Zealous is something that you're intentional about, that you focus on, that you're dedicated to. What happens to this church in Corinth is when Paul addresses the issues with them, they emphatically, with all their strength, enthusiastically, intentionally work to fix those problems. I wonder if a lot of us have lost our passion, our zeal, for doing those things that God wants us to do. Our pursuit of God is no longer zealous. It's convenient. And church, again, I'm not trying to use her as an example, but she married me. It's her fault. If I ever stop pursuing her and take it for granted, and just assume, hey, she's going to be my wife tomorrow because she was my wife today. What do you think is going to happen to our relationship? Bad. Hey, God's going to be there next week. He understands if I miss this week. Alarm clock went off, but it's Memorial Day. Nobody's going to be there anyways. Pastor's going to probably preach some ridiculous message. God will understand if I just miss this week. When you and I stop passionately pursuing, zealously pursuing God, it's a sign that our relationship needs to be renewed. Our passion needs to be renewed. Your pursuit of God cannot be half-hearted, lackadaisical, or just happenstance and when it works good for you. It's got to be something that you do with all your strength, enthusiastically, intentionally. Listen, if you wait for the doors of the church just to swing wide open, for somebody to come to your house, pick you up and bring you to church, for somebody to open the Bible and read it to you and spoon feed you everything that it says, you're missing out. You're not living the best relationship with God you can. You're living a watered down version of religion that's going to leave you empty. I got to move on. Renewing your passion looks like you renew, it means that you fan the intense emotion that produced action. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame that is the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God that gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Going back, if we can go back one slide. I'm sorry, Boz, I jumped ahead on you. Renewing your passion means fanning the intense emotion that produces action. What's that mean? It's a lot of big words. I understand. Listen, I had to read it 6 or 7 times and do synonym searches to find out what this word meant to that word. Okay. Put your heart into it, you get more out of it.
I always thought it was like building a fire when you go camping somewhere, you know. It's just hard to get a fire going, so you got to fan it, you got to keep fanning it. And that's kind of the way you have to do it.
What eventually happens if you fan it enough?
It finally catches up and goes.
Catches up. What happens to the wood? Burns up. See, I think a lot of us, we're great with, oh yeah, I'm gonna fan that flame. Yeah, I'm going to fan that flame. Brother Eddie, one day I'm going to fan that flame. I know every once in a while I need to do something about my relationship with Christ. So every once in a while I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give a little bit extra in the offering plate. I'm going to read my Bible a little more that week. And we do these little like superficial things that we think are fanning the flame. But here's what happens. We never let the wood get burned up. See, this emotion that produces action means this. If as I fan that flame, and God starts to tell me to do things that I don't want to do, I do them. I lean into it. See, a lot of us fan that flame up, and then all of a sudden it says, hey, listen, Vacation Bible School's coming up. You should volunteer. Whoa, nope. Put that flame out, brother. Been there, done that. Hey, listen, they do this thing called Bible study on Sunday morning. You should be a part of a Bible study class. You should go and you should join a Sunday school class, or you should come on Wednesday night. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. That's fishing time, bro. Chill out. And you quench that flame down. You're all for fanning it up. But then when it starts to burn, it starts to require that you do things and it starts to produce action in our life, we step away from it because action is scary, and that means that all of a sudden somebody else is in the driver's seat. That passage in Timothy tells you to fan into that flame, to enjoy it. It says it produces love and it produces self-discipline. How many of y'all love self-discipline? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 21 through 22 says this, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy and useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So don't pursue youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call you the Lord. Call on the Lord from a pure heart. Funny how much Timothy talks about, or Paul talks to Timothy about passion. He understands that when you're young, you're full of passion, right? You're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You're ready to take on that job. You're ready to take on that marriage. Whatever struggle, whatever thing you face, you have all kinds of passion and energy to zeal that you charge in after it. Paul says that you should use those same passions, those same things in your relationship with Christ. He also gives us a word of caution in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells you and I that we're going to be passionate about something. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 say this, but understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. See, when you read that list, you're like, well, I'm not those things, man. Those are the bad folks that live down in Shreveport, John. Those are different people than us. But you know what happens? Just a little bit, that passion starts to redirect. And all of a sudden, my passion is no longer in my relationship with Christ, but it's, hey, what makes me happy? I don't know if you know this or not, but that's our culture's words today. What makes me happy? What makes me feel good? Well, then all of a sudden, if that's my only pursuit, if that's my only goal, if my only drive and ambition and thing that I care about is what pleases me, then guess what? I'm going to start to become some of those things that we just say, well, that's not us. Because what happens is this, is you're passionate about something. You're either passionate today that you are happy and content just by yourself without any dealing whatsoever with God at all, and the number one priority of your life is you, and you are the center of your universe. Or you're passionate about Him. And if you're passionate about Him, then you have to understand what makes me happy is not as important as what makes Him happy. I want to stand that up, and God, if you're going to ask me to do something difficult, I'm going to do it. Listen, God, I want to pursue you with intensity, with emotion, with passion, with zeal. God, I want to fall in love with you again because you loved me. Church, this morning, I wonder what you're passionate about. That last phrase in verse 5 is what worries me to death about our church. And not just our church. I love y'all. Let me say that. I love you dearly. Nothing you could ever do will make me not love y'all. But I get scared about the church as a whole. It has this appearance. Hey man, it looks good. But the goal, the drive, is what makes me happy. God, you're second fiddle, man. My happiness, my success, my priority, my comfort is number one. And when that's your passion, church, and that's what drives us, and that's what consumes us, I can tell you right now that that list of things is soon to follow. So this morning, my prayer for you is this. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. I know we got to get out of here. I've gone too long already, and I apologize. My goal is this, though, is that you would walk out of this place with a renewed passion. Because you see the love that God had for you. That love moves you. It creates something inside of you that it gives you enthusiasm. And so when you serve and when you work and when you do things for God, it's with joy, it's with enthusiasm. It's intentional, it's zealous. It's thought out, it's purposeful, it's moving you to action to take steps day after day to walk closer and closer with Him. And it's getting further and further away from thinking that I'm the most important thing in the world. God, we thank you. We love you for this morning. God, we thank you for this chance, for the time to come, to be able to worship you. God, I thank you for these folks. It's a holiday weekend, and God, you know they could be any place else that they wanted to pick. Lord, I pray that this morning, the fact that they're here, their presence, their willingness to be a part of this service is an indication of the passion they have for you in their heart. But God, my prayer is that that passion is just as strong, is just as powerful, is just as moving, convicting, inspiring as it was when we first had a relationship with you. God, this morning, as we worship you, if it's not, if we've let our passion die a little bit, I pray that during this time, Lord, we would just spend some time having a conversation with you, renewing our passion, because you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.